Okay, let's unpack this. You know that feeling, right? Starting a new job. It's that mix of like excitement for something new, maybe a little bit of nerves, and definitely that slight overwhelm just trying to figure out the basics, like where's the coffee? Who is everyone? It happens to everyone, really, no matter what level you're coming in at. It's always a challenge getting into a new team, a new environment.
Oh, absolutely. It's pretty universal, isn't it? You're basically stepping into a whole functioning system, and you know how that organization actually brings you into the fold. That can make a huge difference. It really sets the tone.
Totally. And today, we're doing something a bit different, a really unique deep dive into exactly that process. Our source material, it's not some academic paper, it's an actual internal document. We've got an email and this incredibly detailed schedule. It's titled Abby Bloom's Onboarding and Training Journey. So this was sent to Abby Bloom, who was just starting at Springfield University, specifically in the Development and Alumni Relations team. And that team, for anyone not familiar, they're the ones, you know, engaging alumni, building relationships with donors, securing the funding the university needs. It's crucial work. The email itself came from three people: Vanessa Chamberlain, who's the Assistant Dean of Development, Tanji Hill, a Senior Development Associate, and Michelle Bauer, an Administrative Aide-de-Fecond. It's dated September 27th, and Abby's first day was that following Monday, September 30th.
Yeah, and our goal here, our mission for this deep dive, it's really more than just looking at a schedule, right? We want to meticulously go through Abby's first couple of weeks and sort of pull out the key insights. What makes an onboarding process truly comprehensive? What does a schedule like this tell you, maybe subtly, about how an organization works, its priorities, and frankly, just how much there is to learn when you start somewhere new?
Exactly. Think of it like a shortcut, you know,
Bro.
a way to understand the deliberate thought that goes into trying to set someone up for success. And as we go through Abby's schedule, think about what it tells us about this specific team at Springfield University. What insights does it offer for you? Maybe you just started a new job, or perhaps you're the one welcoming new people onto your team. What can we learn here?
Okay, so Abby's journey kicks off Monday, September 30th. 8 a.m. is orientation. Standard stuff. But then the very next thing right after orientation, 9 a.m., PC setup, IT team, inner office, room 3 core team.
Right out of the gate, getting the tech sorted. Now, you know, some might just see that as okay, box ticking, but scheduling IT first thing day one, what does that signal to you?
Well, I think it's actually more strategic than it looks, putting it right there immediately. Yes, it signals they value productivity, sure, but it also shows they understand, look, the basic tools have to work before anything else meaningful can happen. It just removes a potential frustration point straight away. Lets Abby feel, you know, equipped rather than hitting tech roadblocks later. It's about laying that groundwork.
That makes a lot of sense. Get the practical stuff working.
Yeah.
And they don't just leave her there. 10 a.m., she's in a development team check-in conference room, followed by an office tour and introductions with someone named Mara Lewis at 11. So, immediate team immersion. What's that tell you?
Yeah, that's a really strong sign of a collaborative culture, I think. Instead of just like paperwork or solo reading, they're prioritizing integrating her socially with the team right away. It suggests they value building those relationships. They want her feeling like part of the group from morning one. That human connection, it's just so important, especially in development, which is fundamentally about relationships.
So, practical setup, person connection, boom, boom. The afternoon continues that blend. There's advanced online training from 1 to 2, looks like in Michelle Bauer's office. But then, crucially, one-on-one meetings, 2 p.m. with Vanessa Chamberlain, the assistant dean, 3 p.m. with Tanji Hill, the senior development associate.
And that blend is key, isn't it? You've got the self-paced online stuff for foundational knowledge, sure, but getting that immediate direct access to her leadership, the assistant dean, a senior associate, that sends a really powerful message. It shows they're invested in her. It gives her a chance right away to ask questions, get expectations clarified, maybe start that mentoring relationship. It's not just what she learns, but who she's learning it from right at the start.
Okay, moving to Tuesday, October 1st. The balance continues. 10:30 a.m., she meets Matt Reardon and Fletcher Reed from Prospect Management and Analysis. Oh, and then there's an optional professional photo session. Interesting.
Meeting prospect management and analysis early. That's strategic. These are the folks basically identifying and researching potential donors. They shape the fundraising pipeline. So by meeting them, Abby gets an immediate grasp of how the university finds its opportunities and, crucially, where her own work is going to fit into that bigger picture. And the photo. It seems minor, maybe, but it subtly reinforces that expectation of, you know, professional representation being a face of the university.
I'd say that, yeah, positions her within the institution. And then 12 p.m. Tuesday, a full team welcome lunch. That really doubles down on the social integration we were talking about, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. Formal meetings are one thing, but a team lunch that moves things into a more relaxed space. Team building, it's often where you get a better feel for the informal culture, helps Abby build that rapport, feel like she's really part of the team, not just, you know, the new person with the title. The afternoon then has another meeting with Michelle Bauer, the admin aide, probably more processes, nuts and bolts, and then more of that advanced online training. So continuing the practical learning.
Okay, so by Wednesday, October 2nd, the schedule starts to branch out beyond her immediate team. 1 p.m., she's meeting Jenna Bradshaw Cooper, who's the Senior Director of Gift Planning. And then at 3:30 p.m., Ben Warren, the Director of Alumni Relations. What does that widening circle signal?
This really highlights how interconnected these roles are. You know, development and alumni relations aren't silos. Jenna, in gift planning, deals with the complex long-term giving strategies. Think bequests, trusts. That's a whole specific area. And Ben, in alumni relations. Well, engaging former students is absolutely fundamental to building that long-term donor base. Meeting them early helps Abby understand the whole ecosystem, from cultivating relationships to sophisticated giving to that lifelong connection with alumni. It's broader than just immediate fundraising asks.
Community building, not just transactions. Got it. Now, Thursday, October 3rd, this is where the schedule gets really interesting. It's not a meeting. It's the inaugural Reva Shane Lewis Lecture on Contemporary Developments in Cloning. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Grand Hall. What does sticking that into a development onboarding schedule tell us about Springfield University?
Oh, that's fascinating, isn't it? This lecture, it's not just like a fun extra. It's actually a really powerful insight. By putting Abby right into their academic and intellectual world, basically from day one, they're signaling something important. Her role isn't just about the money side. It's about truly understanding and being able to communicate the university's mission, its research, what it actually does. It underlines that effective development means connecting donors to the core purpose and value of the institution. And that relies heavily on its intellectual output, like this lecture. It's a brilliant window into their culture and priorities.
Wow, yeah, not your typical onboarding item. What a way to spend Thursday morning. Okay, Friday, October 4th, starts with Joshua Lewis, Senior Director of Business Operations and Administration. Practical stuff again. And later, coffee with Blake Marler, who's a major gift officer for arts and science. That coffee with definitely sounds more informal, right? More about relationship building.
Absolutely. The meeting with Joshua Lewis in business ops, that's about understanding the mechanics, the administrative backbone, how things actually get processed and approved, essential plumbing. And then that coffee with Blake Marler, a major gifts officer, that's invaluable. These are the people working with donors capable of making really significant gifts. A casual chat like that lets Abby learn the nuances, the strategies for high-level relationship building, probably directly from a peer, in a way a formal meeting might not capture. It suggests they value that kind of networking, that informal learning, which is, frankly, critical in development.
Okay, that wraps up week one. Moving into week two, Monday, October 7th. Starts with another development team check-in, reinforces that rhythm, and more introductions. Jillie Grant, who's a major gifts officer, but for schools and institutes. And Natalia Rivera, the Director of Development for Leadership Annual Giving.
Yeah, this just continues that pattern, integrating Abby into all the specialized pockets within development. Jillie Grant's focus on specific schools means understanding their unique programs, their funding needs, it's targeted. And Natalia Rivera's role in Leadership Annual Giving, that's about securing those significant recurring gifts. They're kind of the bedrock for ongoing operations. So these meetings just deepen Abby's map of all the different fundraising strategies and who's leading them.
Right, building out that internal picture. So Tuesday, October 8th, Abby meets Dahlia Creed, Executive Director of Gift Administration, and Roger Thorpe, Senior Director of Strategy and Communication. What do these roles add to the picture?
These are really key pieces of the operational and messaging infrastructure. Dahlia Creed in Gift Administration, that's about making sure gifts are handled correctly, recorded properly, stewarded well. It's about maintaining donor trust through meticulous process, hugely important. And Roger Thorpe in Strategy and Communication, that's about how the university tells its story, presents its case for support to the public, to donors. Meeting them means Abby understands not just how money comes in, but how it's managed afterwards and how the university's narrative is shaped.
Okay, Wednesday, October 9th. David Grant, Associate Director of Research and Prospect Development, This sounds like it circles back to the prospect management piece.
It certainly does. It connects back to that earlier meeting with Matt and Fletcher. David Grant's role is specifically about digging deep into the research side, identifying people, organizations who have the capacity and maybe the inclination to support Springfield. Understanding his work gives Abby insight into those crucial early stages of the donor lifecycle, making sure fundraising efforts are smart and targeted.
Gotcha. And then Thursday, October 10th, another big chunk of time here, schools and institutes strategy session with a full school and institutes team at some place called the Reardon Boarding House. This isn't just an intro meeting. This sounds like she's jumping right into strategic discussions.
Exactly. This session looks like a proper deep dive into the actual strategic plans, the priorities within the university's academic units. It really shows that Abby isn't just there to learn about the university passively. She's expected to actively engage with its core mission, how development plugs into that at a really detailed level. It suggests they see her as a strategic partner from the get-go, not just someone executing fundraising tasks.
Followed later by Meta Bauer, Director of Development for Global and Provostial Initiatives.
Yeah.
So another specific area. Wow. By the end of these 2 weeks, Abby Bloom isn't just, you know, settled at her desk. She's been immersed. Immersed in the structure, the key people, the strategy, even the academic life of the university.
Precisely. I mean, looking back over those first 2 weeks, it's incredibly clear this wasn't just about, here's your laptop, here's your phone. No. Yes, she got the IT sorted, learned administrative details, but she was also plugged straight into strategic planning, had crucial FaceTime with leadership. She met her direct managers, key operational folks like business ops and gift admin, plus all those specialized fundraising leads, major gifts, annual giving, gift planning. And importantly, she got exposure to the wider academic mission and the alumni relations side. It really underscores how interconnected everything is.
The sheer amount and the variety of interactions they scheduled for her in just 2 weeks, it's actually pretty remarkable. From the nuts and bolts to the high-level strategy to the, you know, the heart of the university's academic work, it really does feel like a comprehensive blueprint.
Yeah, and that kind of well-structured onboarding, like Abby Bloom apparently received, it's clearly not just about ticking off boxes on a checklist. It's about deliberately integrating someone, building those relationships early, and really setting the stage for them to succeed long-term. And it goes beyond just the obvious meetings. It includes those specific, maybe unexpected things, like that Reva Shane Lewis lecture on cloning, or that big schools and institute strategy session over at the Reardon Boarding House. Those details show the real breadth of the immersion they were aiming for.
Those specific examples really do hammer home the depth of it, don't they? And the thought that went into it, it really makes you think about your own experiences or maybe onboarding you've seen. So maybe the thought to leave you with is this. When you see an onboarding schedule, or maybe you're involved in making one, how can a document like Abby's, which on the surface seems pretty straightforward, actually act as this fascinating blueprint? A blueprint for understanding an organization's culture, what it really prioritizes, and that whole complex web of connections a new person needs to figure out. What does the level of detail, the thought in this schedule, tell you about how much value Springfield University puts on getting their new hires started right?